I'm Marty Moscoane. Welcome to Radio Times. Wilbur Ross, the head of the Commerce Department, announced earlier this week that the 2020 census will include a question about citizenship. This is not the first time that question has been part of a census, but this year it faces some strong headwinds because of the critical response and threatened lawsuits by states' attorneys general. The census is mandated by the U.S. Constitution to be carried out every 10 years, and while that headcount sounds very straightforward, it has always involved political overtones, controversies, and consequences. Coming up, I'll talk with Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro and with Ari Berman, who's been covering voting rights for Mother Jones. But first, some census history. And we asked Margot Anderson to join us. She's a professor of history and urban studies at the University of Wisconsin, wrote a book called The American Census, A Social History. Margot Anderson, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Let me play White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She was speaking at a press briefing on Tuesday when asked about the citizenship question in the 2020 census.
This is a question that's been included in every census since 1965, with the exception of 2010, when it was removed. We've contained this question that's provided data that's necessary for the Department of Justice to protect voters, and specifically to help us better comply with the Voting Rights Act, which is something that is important and a part of this process. And again, this is something that has been part of the census for decades, and something that the Department of Commerce felt strongly needed to be included again.
Margo, when was the first time a question about citizenship was part of the U.S. Census?
Okay, I've gotten this question a lot.
I figure.
There are various versions of it in the 19th century, going back as early as 1820. But by 1890, as a sub-question of the question on where were you born, place of birth, because we were in a period of high immigration, the census began to ask, after they asked where were you born, if you were born outside the country, then they asked, have you become a citizen? Have you taken out what was then called first papers? And so forth. So that was put on the census from 1890 through 1950. In 1960, the question was taken off the main census, and on 1970, there was no census in 1965. The question was put on back on the sample questionnaire, on the 5% sample questionnaire, and it's remained on the sample. We would call the American Community Survey ever since.
Well, let me just deconstruct that, because it's actually very complicated, because
there are
long forms, there are short forms, there's this
right.
American Community Survey that actually goes out every year.
Right.
But I guess the question is, there are many ways you could ask this question. Are you an American citizen? Where were you born? Is that important to know sort of what words are actually used to ask this question?
Yes, yesterday, for the first time, I think the Census Bureau sort of put out a report on their format for the question, and it is it's not the question of place of birth, like where were you born, and then a sub-question.
Right.
At least to me, it looks like, are you an American citizen? That came out yesterday. And so we've dissociated it from its traditional location in questionnaire, which is a much broader set of questions about basically migration, which is the purpose of it. Are you born, have you moved from New York to Iowa, for example, over the course of your lifetime?
And these questions get tested.
They do.
And has this question been tested in the more traditional way?
No.
And why do you think that isn't? Why?
Because until last year, the statute that governs the census, Title 13, requires the Census Bureau and the Commerce Secretary to inform the oversight committees in Congress of the subjects of the census 3 years before the count, and then the actual questions 2 years. So 3 years ago, this was not included in the subjects that were sent to the Congress.
Let me go back to the beginning. It's part of the U.S. Constitution. What was this early country wanting to do by asking or trying to figure out who lives here? And was it counting everybody? I'm thinking of slaves. How were slaves counted, for instance?
Okay. The Constitution of Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3, has language that says, representatives in direct taxation shall be apportioned according to their respective numbers. Now, this was the solution in the Constitutional Convention to the problem that at the time that the states were a very different size and economies and so forth. So the framers of the Constitution said, we will use this instrument, a population count, to give seats to, in the House of Representatives, to say one seat to Rhode Island and 20 seats to Virginia, because at that point there were radically different sizes among the states. They debated who to count, whether to count people who were active in the political system in one form or another, could vote, decided they couldn't manage that, and then decided to count everyone, including slaves, partially because at that point the system also was designed to allocate tax resources, and Northerners complained and said, look, if you don't count the slaves, the South gets away, gets a lower tax burden. The argument, of course, was that Southerners made is that slaves don't have political rights, and they argued until they came up with a compromise, which came to be called the Three-Fifths Compromise, that discounted the slave population to 60% for the purpose of allocating seats in the House of Representatives.
Do we know from all this history, if you include a question about citizenship, does that depress the actual numbers in this country?
I think that is the great question that we need to address in the next year or so. Both, and I think that's why we're going to see some lawsuits and ask for the testing. We usually test. The practice of the Census Bureau, at least in the last 70 or 80 years, is to pretest its design and also to see how one question interacts with another one and so forth. And that's going to be the issue. We haven't done it since 1950 on the complete count. That's a long time ago.
Let me just quickly reintroduce you. That's Margot Anderson. She's a professor at the University of Wisconsin, wrote a book called The American Census, A Social History. And you can join our conversation by calling us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Would it be fair to say that this question about citizenship bubbles up when there is higher amounts of immigration?
Yes, and more importantly, when there's a political controversy about immigration,
meaning that there are fights about.
Some people want it. Some people are supportive of it. Some people aren't. And if that aligns in the party system, then you've got a political controversy in a legislative and a policy format. That's where we are now.
I was going to say, do you feel like that's where we are now?
Yes.
Because of how the president talks about immigrants, for instance?
Well, it's not just the president. It's that the issue has divides the political parties.
Meaning, and it's interesting, I'll be talking to Pennsylvania's Attorney General, who's a Democrat, and it looks like these attorneys general who are pushing back against the Trump administration are Democrats.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we had a debate for about 40 years toward the end of the 20th century about what was called then the census undercount. In other words, the recognition that the Census Bureau agreed with, that the Bureau counted certain parts of the country better than others, and that there was a differential undercount. In other words, minorities, particularly in urban areas, were counted less well than majority population in suburban areas. And that originally was a technical question. By the late 90s, it also had turned into a partisan question when Newt Gingrich sued Bill Clinton over the design for the 2000 census, and that the outcome had to be determined by the Supreme Court in 1999.
Back in 1920, my understanding is that Congress actually rejected the results of that census.
They didn't reject the results. What they did is they could not pass an apportionment bill. In other words, they were arguing not only over the census results and dubious questions of whether they were valid, but also they were arguing over the mathematical formula to divide the seats among the states. So there were several aspects of it, and what effectively happened is they could not get a majority bill through Congress. By the way, the Congress was controlled by Republicans through that entire decade, so then it was not as clearly a partisan issue.
Do we know what the response rate is to a census form? How many people or what percentage of the population actually fills it out and fills it out correctly?
There is massive amounts of research on this, and the undercount or the net undercount, in other words, because there's also people who fill it out twice. Right. There's a lot of ambiguity here, which also every decade has to be worked out. So, for example, if a child is in a dual custody family, which parent reports the child? If a student is in college, does the student get reported at their home address, or do they get reported at their college dorm? If somebody has two houses, which house, Sunbelt, Snowbelt kind of thing. So all of that enters into the decision making which is a public one that set up what are called the residence rules of how the census is done. You also have to make sure that actually the address list that gets the form to the household is accurate enough so that everybody gets one.
Well, I'm thinking of all the people. Mm-hmm. That we're a very migratory country in many ways. People moving all over the place.
Over the place, yeah. So it's always a complicated issue, and the Bureau works very hard at it, and that these are the kind of issues that we will be discussing not only in terms of this citizenship question, but of everything else in the next 2 years.
My understanding, we're almost up in a break here, but my understanding is that some of the census will be sent out as an online questionnaire. Do you think that will change things?
This was to be one of the big innovations for this decade, which was to send people a postcard with a code on it, and then you could go on your smartphone or computer and answer the census. This is part of a technological push that's gone back 50, 60 years. At least through 1960, most people got to answer the census because somebody came and knocked on their door.
Right.
In 1970, we began to use the United States mail, and now we're going to try to use the Internet. And so people will do it quickly and unobtrusively at home.
Well, let's take that short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about the census, getting a short history lesson, also talking about the 2020 census. And the Trump administration, the Commerce Department, wants a question about citizenship included in the 2020 census. Margo Anderson from the University of Wisconsin, what do you think of this question? Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, talking with Margo Anderson about the census, in particular about the 2020 census, with this question about citizenship. Let me play a public service announcement for the 1980 census. This featured Kirk Douglas, Patrick O'Neill, Steve Allen, Jane Meadows, and Mickey Mouse.
In 80 million mailboxes across the USA, the census is a-coming to help us plan the way, to show us where we're going so that we can understand what's needed for the future of our land. Can we count on you?
You can count on me.
Can we count on you?
You can count on me.
Help your community get equal government representation. Help show where funds are needed for jobs, schools, health care, and more. Answer the 1980 census.
And all your answers are kept confidential by law.
Can we count on you?
You can count on me.
Can we count on you?
You can count on me.
And together we will see each other through. Answer the census. We're counting on you. Answer the census. We're counting on you.
Margo Anderson, I don't know about you, but that took me way in the way back machine to 1980. But we actually were looking online. There have been a bunch of these public service announcements over the years and famous people asking Americans to fill out the census. I wonder, there seems to be, and I don't know if it's new or not, just so much suspicion about government and what is the government going to do with my information. Do you think that will affect the census this year? Or in 2020, I should say?
It always does, partially because the census is a rare event. In other words, I always start by talking about it and saying, where were you on April 1st, 2010, or April 1st, 2000? And most people look at you blankly at that point. So it's supposed to be an unobtrusive event, at which point we have to essentially re-educate and re-explain what's going on. And so the first part is just a natural, like, what? What are we doing here? Why? Mm-hmm. How? And then the second is that if it comes at a time, if it resonates with other social and political concerns of the period, then people start asking questions quite legitimately. So I see the discussion we're having now as, you know, as both part of a very long tradition and actually, frankly, fairly healthy, depending on how it falls. If we can, we need to come to some consensus as a country about what we're doing here. I'll give you an analogy. In the 1930s, during the Great Depression, in the 1930 census, the hot issue was unemployment.
Sure. And how do you count people who are unemployed?
Exactly. Yeah. So the question changes, but the issue is always there.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us on Radio Times, getting our conversation started. Margo Anderson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, she's professor of history and urban studies at the University of Wisconsin, wrote a book called The American Census, A Social History Here. Well, just to recap, the Commerce Department announced on Monday that the 2020 census will include a question about citizenship. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said his department was responding to a request from the Justice Department that wanted the question included to determine violations of the Voting Rights Act. We asked Ari Berman to join us, and he is senior reporter for Mother Jones, who's been covering voting rights, author of Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And Ari, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. Good morning.
Good morning. What do you make of this citizenship question?
Well, it's one question, but it's a huge deal that civil rights experts are saying to me could sabotage the entire census. Because given the climate that we're facing in this country with immigration, given the fear that immigrants feel towards the Trump administration, no one is going to want to give the Trump administration their information if they are not a citizen. And I just spent quite a bit of time reporting on the census in California's Central Valley. So in the Fresno area, which has a lot of immigrants, particularly Latino undocumented immigrants. And this was before the citizenship question was asked, but we knew it was potentially coming. And so I asked them, would you respond to the census if it asked a question about citizenship? And almost unanimously, the immigrants I talked to said no. They said, we don't trust the Trump administration with our information. We're afraid we're going to be deported. ICE is doing raids in our neighborhood. So given this climate, it has a very, very large potential for suppressing immigrant responses and, by extension, really sabotaging the entire census as a result.
Yeah, I want to pick up on a couple of things there. But what do you make of the Justice Department asking the Commerce Department to include this question because of potential violations of the Voting Rights Act? Is this kind of a reviving of the allegation, the charge that immigrants are voting illegally in this country?
Well, I think that the justification for it, there's not a whole lot of evidence to back it up. Because when I heard that this Justice Department wants to enforce the Voting Rights Act better, as someone who covers the Voting Rights Act, I found this to be quite laughable. Because the Justice Department under Donald Trump hasn't filed a single lawsuit to enforce the Voting Rights Act. It is filled with people like Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who have a long history of being hostile to voting rights. We have the president himself, who said with no evidence that millions of people are voting illegally and created a quote-unquote election integrity commission that many people worried were going to pass laws that would have a suppressive effect on voting. So when I asked civil rights experts that I knew, people that had enforced the Voting Rights Act previously, number one, do you need this question to enforce the Voting Rights Act? They said no. And number two, do you think that this is a legitimate reason why you would add this question? They said no. It's a total ruse. The Justice Department is using the idea of enforcing the Voting Rights Act basically as a smokescreen to try to get this data for other purposes.
In fact, let me quote something. This was a Trump reelection campaign email sent out to supporters that said, and I'm quoting here, the president wants the 2020 United States Census to ask people whether or not they are citizens. In another era, this would be common sense, but 19 attorneys general said they will fight the president if he dares to ask people if they're citizens. The president wants you to know if you wants to know if you are on his side. Now, we heard from Margo Anderson that the census has always had these political overtones, but is there something more nefarious at work here?
Yes, because it's very, very revealing that before the Commerce Department had even issued its decision on the citizenship question, the Trump reelection campaign was sending emails about it. So it tells you that there's a political incentive for Donald Trump to want this question. I think they want this question for two reasons. The first reason is they want areas with lots of immigrants to receive a less economic and political power. So places that are going to be penalized by this question if immigrants don't respond to it are places like Philadelphia and New York City and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Houston and Dallas. And yes, some red states are going to suffer, but these are very blue areas that are going to get hit the hardest. And secondarily, I think longer term, what Republicans want to do is they want to be able to draw voting districts based on citizenship, not total population, which is the way that we've always done it. And if that happens, that would mean that areas with lots of immigrants, again, places like New York City or Philadelphia or Los Angeles, these places are going to see a reduction in political power, and wider and more Republican and more homogenous areas are going to see a greater influence in political representation. So I think that's the real reason why the Trump administration wants this question so badly.
Let me get Javier from Glassboro, New Jersey, to join our conversation. And Javier, go ahead. You are on Radio Times. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Now, yeah, I work for the Hispanic Church in Glassboro, so I deal with immigrants on a daily basis, and I happen to be on the 20 census as a numerator for 2010. And just from knowing, from knocking on people's doors, they're very hesitant to open the door, whether you are an immigrant or not. And regarding the citizen question, I feel like it's a dual-edged blade, just as the gentleman said earlier. I really feel like this is a ruse, so that even though it has been added in the past, but federal agencies such as ICE will be able to use this to personally focus on non-criminal immigrants. But on the other side as well, there are other federal agencies that can actually use this as their defense to actually help non-citizens take a pass toward citizen, knowing where their demographic is and how much there is in an area.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. You raise a really important point. And I'm wondering, too, Ari, whether even beyond enumerators like Javier, who would actually knock on someone's door, whether there's just a kind of overall suspicion about the government that influences how people would respond, whether it comes via email or via the, you know, postal service or someone like Javier.
There is. And that fear of the government is growing. And it's been growing every decade. And I think we're going to see unprecedented fears in 2020 when the census is taken in the middle of Donald Trump's re-election campaign. And what I looked at in a feature article I just wrote for Mother Jones about the census was that even before the citizenship question was asked, the Census Bureau was facing an unprecedented number of problems. They were facing budget cuts. They have no full-time director. They're moving to internet resources. responses for the first time. So 80% of the public is going to receive a postcard telling them to fill out the form online, as opposed to someone knocking on their door or receiving a paper form in the mail. And then you add this question on citizenship on top of that, and this has the potential to be a very unfair and inaccurate census. And the other thing that's important to remember, Marty, is that the census already undercounts certain people. In the 2010 census, white populations were overcounted by nearly 1%, but 1.5 million people of color were missed, meaning that areas with a very diverse populations with lots of immigrants, they already received less political power, less economic funding than they should have because there was an inaccurate count. And the concern is that this citizenship question, plus all of the other problems facing the census, is going to lead to a much more dramatic undercount in 2020, which will hurt more diverse areas like Philadelphia, like New York, like LA, like Dallas, like Houston.
That's Ari Berman, senior reporter for Mother Jones, and he has been covering voting rights for some time now. Had a piece recently in Mother Jones called Hidden Figures. Joining us now is Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro, one of the more than dozen attorneys general fighting this decision by the Commerce Department to include a question about citizenship in the 2020 census. Josh Shapiro, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Great to be back with you, Marty. Thanks.
So what's wrong with this question?
Well, I think, and you just heard this from your previous guest, it will depress participation in the census, and in turn, as a result of that, it will decrease federal funding for Pennsylvania and decrease our representation in Congress, our voice in Washington. That undermines the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It undermines states across the board. And frankly, I think it's unlawful.
Unlawful? Unconstitutional?
Yes, look, the Constitution is very clear on this issue, that the census needs to be conducted every 10 years and that it needs to count persons, not citizens. We think that the action at this late timetable by the Trump administration to add the citizenship question, and studies show this, and former Republican and Democratic census directors have stated this repeatedly, that it will depress turnout. It will undermine the count, result in an inaccurate count. We think that the actions by the Trump administration are unlawful because they're arbitrary and capricious, and Pennsylvania is going to sue to stop it.
Why, though, let me ask you, and this is certainly a question that's been swirling around this, so why count non-citizens in the census?
Well, because that's what the Constitution requires. It requires that persons be counted, not citizens be counted. But I think it's also important to note a few things. Number one, that the citizenship question was actually removed from the census prior to the 1960 census. It hasn't It hasn't appeared on the census in nearly 70 years. But we still can collect citizenship data using what's known as the American Community Survey, which is a separate survey of people conducted by the Census Bureau in non-census years. So we can still get accurate data about citizenship, which can be helpful for the government to have, but it's done in a way that doesn't depress turnout or depress involvement in filling out the census, and thus doesn't threaten to undermine our representation or threaten to undermine the federal funding that we receive.
Have you joined other attorneys general who are fighting this this question?
Yeah, I've been engaged in conversations with other attorneys general on this. We intend to file suit early next week. Right now, it's about a dozen states that we've been talking to. That number could grow over the next few days as states begin to realize that they could really lose out under this new approach by the Trump administration.
Is it this particular question, or is it also the atmosphere that we are living in? And to be perfectly honest, some of the things that President Trump or candidate Trump said about immigrants, is that part of this pushback?
Well, I can't speak for others. What I can say is my job is to uphold the rule of law and apply the law without fear or favor. There are many things that this president does that I disagree with, but me simply disagreeing with the president or not liking his rhetoric is not grounds to file a lawsuit. We only file lawsuits when the president has violated the law. And in fact, a little over a dozen times since I've been attorney general over this past year, we filed lawsuits. And I would point out to you and your listeners, we've never lost. And the reason we've never lost is because we've been very careful about where we file lawsuits and that it's based on the rule of law, not based on outside forces or outside pressures or me just simply disagreeing with the president.
Is this going to end up in the U.S. Supreme Court?
We'll see. I mean, let's see what happens. Hopefully, like the Trump administration has done a few times in the past, we have come out and said we're going to sue. I can remember recently I said we were going to sue over an environmental decision that the EPA was making, and it didn't even need to get to court. They realized they were wrong, and 24 hours after we filed our suit, they withdrew their decision. Hopefully, that will happen again here. But if it doesn't happen here, we're prepared to take this all the way to the Supreme Court, of course, to try to stop this. I mean, look, I think it's really important that we understand, again, the studies show and former census directors of both parties have clearly stated that adding this citizenship question is going to depress participation. And there's a lot at stake. Whether you agree with my logic or don't, I think everyone should understand that there are 132 federal programs that are allocated based on census data. And we get a lot of that money here in Pennsylvania, for example, and certainly New Jersey as well. Things like medical assistance programs or SNAP and food stamps, highway funding, which, you know, nearly everybody rides on our highways, national school lunch program, affordable housing. These programs are funded here in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware, and other places based on an accurate count in the census in our respective states. So, you know, if we allow this to go forward and we allow the census to not be counted accurately, we are really shooting ourselves in the foot in that we are getting less dollars from the federal government, less dollars from Washington. So your taxes will still remain what they are. You'll still send your money to D.C., but you won't be getting it back. The other point here is
very quickly, we're almost up in a break and we have to say goodbye and I need to get back to our other guests. But go ahead, Josh Shapiro.
Just real quick, you know, immigrants have really helped spur economic growth and helped in many, many ways to have a positive economic impact on our region. Now is it time to make sure they are counted in that process. People like here on student visas, green card holders and others, they deserve to be counted. They paid $6 billion in taxes just in Philadelphia a couple years ago, and they receive fewer benefits than citizen taxpayers receive.
We need
a full and accurate count.
We have to say goodbye to you, Josh Shapiro, Pennsylvania Attorney General. Thanks for joining us. Ari Berman, hang on. We'll talk to you after this very short break. We'll be right back. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, talking with Ari Berman, senior reporter for Mother Jones, who's been covering voting rights, and we've been talking about the 2020 census and this inclusion of a citizenship question. And again, you can join us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Ari, anything you want to say in response to what Josh Shapiro just said?
Well, I think we're going to see, as Josh said, more legal challenges. And California has already sued to challenge this question along with the NAACP. And it's not just the fact that the Constitution requires everyone to be counted, not just citizens. It's also the fact that this question was added so late and was not tested. So the census at the end of the day is a very scientific process. Anytime a new question is proposed, it goes through rigorous years of testing, through focus groups, in the field. This question was requested in December by the Justice Department, and it was added in March by the Commerce Department. It didn't go through any of the normal testing that any other question went through. And in April, there's going to be a field test in Providence, Rhode Island, the only field test to prepare for the 2020 census. And this question is not going to be on there because it's too late to add it. And so I think that the attorneys general and other people who challenge this law, they're going to challenge it based on the Constitution, but they're also going to say that the normal protocol for the census was violated here. And so I think the courts could rule against this question both on larger constitutional grounds, but also on more technical grounds.
Let me get Ann from Kimberton to join our conversation. And go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Yes, hi there. I just happened to be doing some investigation into my grandparents when they came over to the country, and I do have the 1910, 20, and 1940 census, which everybody can download, by the way.
Sure.
And on all of these, they do ask about your citizenship. They do ask, you know, what country you were born in, whether you have English or not. And if you were born in a foreign country, they ask whether you are a naturalized citizen or not. It also gives you other really interesting information. In the 1940 census, they asked about whether or not you had been on government assistance in the past year, and if so, how many weeks, et cetera, et cetera. So just to be clear, this has been on the census many times, at least for the three or four that I could download off the Internet.
Sure. I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And I should say that our first guest, Margo Anderson, said absolutely it has been on and off the census. It's been on long forms and short forms. So it's had a history here. Ari, it seems like Ann is saying perhaps people are overreacting. The fact that that people have been asked this question before, we should feel not so upset about it.
Well, the last time it was asked on the census was 1950, and America was a segregated society then, with many fewer immigrants. So the political conditions of the country are much different now than they were back then. And remember what happened before the 1950 census, and this was removed. Census data was used during World War II to round up Japanese Americans and to put them in internment camps. And that led to a very broad backlash about the census using that kind of information. And those kind of fears are once again present today. The immigrants I spoke to in states like California are concerned that if they give their data to the federal government, it will be used to deport them. And so instead of the census becoming a constitutionally mandated action that is supposed to count everyone in America, that everyone is supposed to respond to and encouraged to respond to, there's a fear that instead it's going to become a weapon for deporting people, a weapon for suppressing their voices. And I think that's a very, very dangerous and slippery slope. And so this question is already asked, as Margo Anderson said earlier, on the American Community Survey that goes to about 15% of households. All of the former directors of the Census Bureau have said that's sufficient for enforcing the Voting Rights Act. That's sufficient for knowing who our non-citizen population is. But both Republican and Democratic former officials at the Census Bureau said that this question about citizenship isn't needed. The former director of the Census under George W. Bush told me it would create all kind of controversies. It would lead to not only an unfair census, but an inaccurate census that couldn't be used by so many institutions who rely on census data.
Let me pick up on something that you said. It's also what you wrote in Mother Jones, which is that the budget for this Census Department has been cut. Now, I think some of that money was restored with this new budget that was passed. It also doesn't have a permanent leader. How does that affect how a census is carried out and the accuracy and even the transparency, but certainly the accuracy of a census when a department is underfunded?
Yeah, that's a very good point, Marty. The Census Bureau has no full-time leadership because the permanent Senate-confirmed director of the census announced he was resigning in May. Interestingly enough, on the same day, James Comey was fired. So obviously, those two things were not related, but it didn't get a whole lot of attention. So there's only an acting head of the Census Bureau, meaning that when there are attempts to politicize the census, there is no congressionally confirmed person who can stand up and talk about the importance of a fair census. Secondarily, the budget has been cut significantly over the past few years. The Congress essentially told the Census Bureau a few years ago, you need to spend less money on the 2020 census than you did on the 2010 census, even though the population is going to grow by about 25 million people between 2010 and 2020. And so the Census Bureau had to make a lot of cutbacks. They had to cut back crucial field tests. They had to cut back the number of people they're going to send out to the field to knock on doors if you don't initially respond to the census. And what that means is that populations that have been historically undercounted, as I mentioned in 2010, 1.5 million people of color were missed by the census in 2010, even though it was a very accurate census. So populations that are undercounted, for example, people who move often, people of color, immigrants, those that are poor, all of those people are counted at a lower rate than people that make more money, that have more stable housing, that are more likely to be white than non-white. It means that this undercount could be greater, and it means that the census will not only be unfair, but the census won't be accurate. The whole purpose of the census is to know who is living here, to have an accurate survey of the country so we can use that information to allocate federal funding, to draw federal voting districts, to determine how many electoral seats and congressional votes each state gets. And if we have inaccurate data, all of that information is going to be skewed.
Well, and we should add to that that businesses make decisions based on the census. There's research that's based on the census as well. So accuracy needs to be there across the board. Let me read some comments that we have. A question from John in Downingtown. He says, if citizens have Social Security numbers, couldn't a computer just tally up that number? Would that help, Ari?
The problem is that Social Security numbers alone are not sufficient to confirm citizenship status, because obviously some non-citizens have Social Security numbers. And so I think that the question is the census the right place to do this? Is the census the right forum to try to confirm citizenship? Because the census, at least for the last 70 years, has been about counting everyone in America, whether they are citizens or non-citizens. And if suddenly we decide that the census is going to become an instrument for enforcing citizenship, meaning that other agencies, the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, the federal government more broadly will try to get access to this data, that warps the entire purpose and mission of the census.
We have emails from Susan, Dave, and Ray. They all had the same question. Can people fill out the census and just skip the ugly citizenship question? If we can, basically saying just fill out everything and leave the stuff that you don't like blank. Can you do that? And is there a consequence for doing that?
That's a very good question that I've been asked a lot in the past week. And quite frankly, I don't totally know the answer to it, because this hasn't happened in a long time. On the broader American community survey, the longer survey that goes to about 15% of the population, people do skip the citizenship question. So that survey is still counted. My concern here is that if people who are citizens decide to not fill out that question, then places where there are that first, let's say you have a place where a lot of people say that they just decide to not fill out that question. Well, if then Republicans decide that they want to count districts only based on citizens, those people that didn't fill out that question are not going to be counted. Oh. And so it's a very slippery slope, because on the one hand, if non-citizens don't fill out the question, then the federal government won't know who they are. But on the flip side, if citizens decide to not fill out that question, then actual American citizens won't be counted as well in terms of purposes of redistricting, if that's the road that we go down.
Here's an email from Lewis. Am I correct that there will also be a question for folks who claim that they are white or Caucasian that asks about origin? Now, our first guest said that yesterday she thinks she knows what this actual question is. Do you, Ari, know what this citizenship question will be? And words truly matter, especially on such a hot button issue.
Yeah, I looked at the official question came out yesterday, and I looked at it, and I from memory, I can't remember all of it, but there's sort of four subsets. It says, you know, are you a U.S. citizen? Were you born in the United States? Or were you born in Puerto Rico or another territory? So there's some variation in terms of how this question is asked that honestly could lead to some confusion, even if people are citizens.
Let me see what looks like Matt from Limerick has to say. Matt, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. So
hi there.
I want to make sure that I'm understanding something correctly. It seems the primary issue with this question is for representation. And I'm wondering if that is oriented more towards legal immigrants or illegal immigrants or both. And if so, do illegal immigrants have any legal entitlement to representation?
It's a good question, Matt. And I was actually going to ask Josh Shapiro that question, but let me toss that to you, Ari. In terms of representation, and that's how census information is used, if someone is in Congress, are they representing people who are undocumented plus native born?
Yes. our representatives represent everyone in the same way that if there's a fire, the fire department is going to go to their house, whether someone is documented or undocumented. And interestingly enough, there was a case at the Supreme Court 2 years ago about this called Evanwell versus Abbott, and Texas wanted to draw districts only based on citizenship. And in a unanimous 8-0 ruling, the Supreme Court ruled that districts should be drawn based on total population, not citizenship, because everyone was entitled to representation. So that was pretty remarkable. That just 2 years ago, the Supreme Court, which doesn't agree on much these days, ruled unanimously that everyone is entitled to representation. Another related issue, Marty, is that there are more than 5 million U.S.-born children who have undocumented parents in the United States. So if their parents are afraid to respond to the census, that means those U.S.-born children are not going to be counted either. And millions of American citizens will be ignored and won't show up on the census form, which means that they will receive less political representation, even though they are citizens who can vote and do all the other things that citizens can do.
Let me see what Tom from Philadelphia has to say. And Tom, go ahead. You are on Radio Times. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, my question is, since the American Community Survey asks the citizenship question, do we have any data that talks about the response rates for people who are not citizens?
And Tom, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Ari, I think you said that goes to about 15% of the population?
It goes to about 15% of the population, and I don't know the data on whether citizens or non-citizens respond to it. What I can tell you is about 8% of respondents to the American Community Survey skip the citizenship question altogether. Huh. So there's already about 1 in 10 respondents to this form decide they don't want to fill out this question. And so if you can extrapolate that to the broader census, if 1 in 10 people, for example, decide that they don't want to fill out the census, or that they decide that they don't want to fill out this question on the census, that would mean that millions and millions of Americans or millions and millions of non-citizens who would otherwise be counted on the census aren't responding. So when Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said there's no evidence that this will lead to an undercount, there's actually quite a bit of evidence already, both statistical and anecdotal evidence, that suggests that this question will lead to an undercount on the broader census that's going to go out in 2020.
So Ari, do you suggest people fill it out and just cross their fingers?
This is a very difficult question. I'm not in a position to advise people on this. The census is tremendously important. That's why I decided to report on this in the first place, because it affects every part of our democracy. But I also would understand why someone, particularly someone who is a non-citizen, would not want to give this information to the Trump administration. What civil rights groups have told me in years past was they relied on trusted messengers to convince people to get the word out about the census, to fill out the census. Now they say the trusted messengers themselves don't trust the message. And that's a very big problem for democracy.
In fact, right before you joined us, we played a public service announcement from 1980 with, you know, Hollywood stars saying, fill out the census. You're saying even, you know, broadly speaking, even those people might not want to tell, you know, regular Americans to fill out a census form?
Not in this current climate. I mean, you had a tremendous amount of outreach that went into convincing people to fill out the census in 2010. For example, on Telemundo, you had an entire storyline on a telenovela where they hired a census worker to talk about the importance of the census. Is Telemundo going to want to urge people to respond to the census with Donald Trump as president, given the climate of fear we're seeing around immigrants in this country? So this is going to be a very, very difficult task, and I think it's going to I don't think any amount of money is going to be able to eradicate the fear that people feel in this country right now. And it's going to be very, very, very difficult to get people to respond to the census in 2020. And that will affect every single thing in our democracy, from how districts are drawn to how money is allocated to the representation we receive in the Electoral College and in Congress.
And we're almost out of time here, but do you see this getting fought out in the U.S. Supreme Court then?
I do. I think this is going to be a huge political issue and a huge legal battle as well. When the census tried to change how people were counted in 2000, it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the stakes are much higher now. And so I think that this is going to be something that we're going to be talking about for the next few years for sure, all the way up to, I think, the 2020 census itself.
Ari Berman, thanks for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thanks so much, Marty. Great to talk.
Nice to have you with us. Senior reporter for Mother Jones. He has been covering voting rights for a number of years now. In fact, wrote a book called Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes and you can find out more about the program. You can download a podcast of the show, find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can also sign up for our newsletter. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Trine Nuri with Susan Greenbaum. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Thank you for joining us.